The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. 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 The Foundation. The Foundation. 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 The Foundation.
The Foundation with Heart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Marco's Pizza, Pindertal, Printmasters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful Monday. May 19th. What am I thinking, right? How did I get November? May 19th, 2025. Guys, I'm grateful to be in your company. Always grateful to jam with you. And to be talking about what we are from a nationalistic standpoint, to be able to identify, dissect, and make a determination as to whether or not we're on the course for growth and development in this country. Guys, this is The Foundation. I want you to join me in conversation today. 323-622-32325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. You can hit me up, 422-4796. That's the lines you could be able to call with us today. Got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. Make sure you go and check them out. They're located number 407 Blue Hill Road South. They got all these packages available for you. Not just get your car insured package. There's some great packages. If you want to be able to find out more, you can give them a call at 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. They'd be more than happy to accommodate you down there and take good care of you in that kind of a space, right? We've been talking a little while now, and I'm not going to stop talking about it. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about being able to provide this information. And I think it's sort of an alternative or premeditated concept, right, to potential surgery or being able to do something extremely drastic and extremely invasive. You can be able to, my good, decent friend, Dr. Teresa Adley-Smith, she could be able to take very good care of you when it comes to hydrocolonics, okay? She's just shifting, and she's in the midst of doing that to the One West Plaza. And what she does, and if you don't know about this, if we've been talking about it for a little while, if you don't know about this, this is a space where you could be able to hydrate your colon. For a long time, your colon has been dehydrated, and some of the things that you intake don't necessarily pass the way that it's supposed to pass. Some persons have these kind of conversations about the fact that I haven't passed in a week. My God, this is a deep conversation. I can't even understand that. I haven't popped my wife. No, that can't. No, this, if it's me, it's a problem. Because I take refuge and solace in my fourth day bathroom. I just want to be very, very clear with you, right? And so, you know, if you find yourself in this kind of a position, it's possible that your colon can be dehydrated. And to hydrate that, to be able to give you sort of an infusion of water that's not crazy invasive, that's not hard. It's a very good process. You can be able to find out more information about it. You can call Dr. Teresa. She can be able to help you significantly to get that evacuation that you've been looking for. That evacuation, that exit that you've been looking for a little while and you haven't found that, you can get that with Dr. Teresa. She can be able to help you. Give her a call, 445-8111, 445-8111. Got to be able to tell you about my good, decent people down there. So go check her out or make your booking. Make your booking right online. Go check her out. And you can be able to see that. It's CocoPlumWellnessBahamas.com. CocoPlumWellnessBahamas.com. You're going to be able to do that. You get 25% off on Mondays, 25% off on Fridays, and 50% off on the 25th day of every month for the duration of 2025. So go, if you're looking for your 50%, you can get that. You're only a stone throw away. You can be able to get that, all right? But if you're looking for your 25%, it's today. It's going to be Friday, and you can be able to access those things. The base price is about $149.99, right? Like $150. So that's the base price, all right? So you can be able to get a good percentage off on that and enjoy yourself and be able to find yourself alleviated the way that you want. I'm waiting to hear some more stories about persons who, especially those persons who came from the family of islands, all right? You came from Grand Bahama, you came from Eleuthera, you came from Exuma and other spaces just to be able to get this. Hey, I'd like to hear more about that and kind of hear you guys talk about that. Hopefully we can do that on Small Business Thursday. This Thursday we could be able to have that kind of a conversation with you, right? So go and check her out. Like I said, the number is 445-8111, 445-8111. Guys, pick up the Guardian newspaper. All the information is in there about this sort of an idea to be battle ready. My God, I just want to be decent with you. This language is eerily familiar. And the only thing that's missing from the Prime Minister's hand that we would have seen over the past decade, him during this time, is a bell. Somebody talk to me. I can't even get away, man. Ring the bling-a-ling-a. Yeah, the little bell. You remember the little bell? Our principal had one when I was Remember, he was at Martintown Primary School, right? Ms. Wright. She had one, and she would come outside. If the current is off, the power was off, whatever the case may be, and she would ring the bell with her hand. And when we were in primary school, we had to freeze, right? So I'm waiting for the bell to be rung so the entire country could freeze and prepare ourselves for the next dispensation, which is a general election, right? So Davis tells the PRP to get battle ready. The Prime Minister says that Pintard is just an actor who has never had a real job. That is some hurtful words. If I ever hear some, this seems like this is going to be very low as it relates to these this political season. I don't know whether or not it could be lowest or the lowest, but this kind of a language is crazy. Never had a real just feel like, you remember Yo Mama jokes, right? You remember the Yo Mama jokes with the boy from that 70s show? I can't remember his name. Yeah, that's what it feels like. This feels like you're going into battle, but the first thing is the battle of words. Kelso. That's what his name is, Kelso, right? This feel like Yo Mama jokes, right? That kind of a, I know I am, but what are you? I know you are, but what am I? Like this, I feel like this is what that conversation in preparation for a bigger battle that we could be able to see. I don't know why. I don't know why, but this is just sort of eerily familiar for that. And I don't know whether or not the Prime Minister threw the first stone. You saw Michael Pintar come out and say, is nothing brave about him. You must call him Philip. It's a heavy lot of things that is going on out here, guys. Let's talk about those particular things. It says that telling members of the Progressive Party that is the time to get battle ready, right? I think that this is what they call Hype Sundays, right? Now, I've extended, right? And I don't know, because there's some other people coming to me looking for some stuff. I've extended an opportunity to be able to see both political parties on the show on a week-to-week basis leading up to the general election. Now, these are the two major political parties, okay? And then on Wednesday, I'll have a mixed bag of independents and other persons come on to be able to have a kind of a conversation with me, right? But the two major political parties, I've extended an opportunity for them to be able to start and end the week strong with their political views, right? An extension to that, I'm looking for them to kind of get back to me to make this kind of a determination what they want to be able to do. I might as well just be, and the event that they don't want to go this way, right, which is fine, the event that they don't want to go this way, then we're going to be able to fill those slots with a plethora of conversations from our communities, right? So we're going to be able to identify that and get sponsorship to take us to different spaces throughout the country to have these kind of a conversation that we will bring to you live. Live. But we're just waiting patiently to be able to hear back from them, right? The chairman for the Progressive Liberal Party, he took a deep breath. He said, okay, Howard, I'll get back to you. And those persons, the representatives for the Free National Movement that we released it to, says, okay, Howard, we'll get back to you. I understand these things. Now, I'm only saying that to say that as we move to general election, I want to be able to have a very clear conversation with persons. I don't want to have this casual conversation. I don't want to know, I want to talk about this kind of an idea and just extrapolating information from the newspaper to make a determination as to maybe this is what they're thinking. Maybe this is, I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. So I'd like to be able to talk with you guys on a week-to-week basis leading up to the general election and hopefully to be able to dismantle the malarkey that's going to be able to exist and perpetuate within the social media realm. That's what I intend, that's what I desire to do. That's my desire. Over the past 6 days, it has been more information, social media. You don't know which one to grab. You don't know which one is smoke. You don't know which one is a joke. You just don't know. And it's just a perpetuation of absolute garbage after garbage after garbage. And you got to sift through this to see whether or not there's any glimmer of or semblance of something that makes sense here. And then you read it and you say, why am I even reading this, Jesus? Why? This is garbage. That's how I felt for the past few days, right? And I saw these fellas. Let's read this little piece right here. It says a social media commentator who allegedly threatened to kick down a pastor's door and beat him was charged with threats of harm on Friday. Prosecutors allege that Senior made a menacing remark to Pastor Trent Davis in a video. Archer was arrested in connection to the complaint on May 15th and arraigned the following day. Archer denied the allegation at his arraignment before Assistant Chief Magistrate Cara Turnquist, and she said, and he says that his bail was set at $1,000. Archer is set to return to court on June 10th for his trial. What is going on in the country today? Trent, I'm not going to talk with you and bring your information out to the forefront, you and the Golden Gates Assembly and all those particular things, but I have gotten nothing but calls all through the weekend as I tried to put my foot up between my little girl jumping all over me. Daddy, daddy, daddy. And these texts and telephone calls that I'm getting, this is overwhelming for me. Yeah, this is overwhelming for me. And I can't seem to understand why. We know that the Golden Gates Assembly has been in the news over the past year and a half. The transition happening in the church. We know that they've made some significant modifications. We know that there has been a split in terms of people moving from here to there. We know these things, and I thought it was settled. Can I say that? I thought it was done. And to see these things come back up, I just ask why. I ask why, right? So these are peculiar things, $120 million for Grand Nukayan. This is what the government fails to say when money will be received. This is a heavy story, right? It says the David administration agreed to sell the Grand Nukayan Resort and Grand Bahama, as well as the Gulf Resort next door, for $120 million to the Bahamian subsidiary of the U.S.-based real estate and hospitality developer Concord Wilshire Capital. This is what the government revealed, right? The purchase price covers the sale of the 56 acres beachfront resort in Freeport and the adjacent 168... What the thing? You see how much property this is? For $120 million? My God. So it says, it's Whoa, this is heavy, guys. Right? And then it says the adjacent waters, the Bahamas, Bahamas Limited, right? So this is on Thursday, the Davis administration signed a heads of agreement with the purchaser for the redevelopment of the beleaguered resort. So this is, however, some pertinent details connected to the project were not made public until a day later. And I think this is where we come in as the fourth estate. I think our relentless agitation and our relentless push for transparency that can be viewed in the light of so many persons to say that you support an opposing position from a political standpoint, right? They blame you. They blame every single person to say that, why don't you just shut up and be happy and accept what we're saying and just keep moving with that. Well, we just want a little bit more information. Don't fight me. And I got some fight this weekend for the conversation that we had on Friday. And I want to say to you that I'm ecstatic if there is any level of sustainability and consistency in what we're doing. I'm ecstatic. I'm ecstatic. I really am. I'm telling you. I'm ecstatic. Okay, so if I could give you the complex concept of what this is for a man with four children and a wife who lives in Nassau as an entrepreneur and survives off of whatever he kills, proverbially, right? So whatever I kill, I'm able to consume. I don't have no one to give me nothing. And as an entrepreneur in this country, you know you don't have the greatest relationship with a bank based upon the inconsistency that exists socioeconomically. Let's just be very clear and honest with you. At least I could find stability and security if I go back home to my own space. This is subconsciously deep down into the depth of my mind. That hopefully at home, I don't have to have this kind of pre-anxiety concept when going into a business deal, when going into pitch a concept, because at least I know this property is mine, this house is mine. I could be comfortable enough to know that my family will be taken care of. Okay? So I just got to be very clear with you. Grandmama's mine. I grew up there. I've been here in the city of Nassau, loving it from day one for 14 years and had nothing but great experiences, met some great people here in Nassau. But for the purposes of expansion, growth, development, accessibility, so forth and so on, the Bahamas can only grow if all of us go back to our spaces and ensure that there's opportunities that exist there. I feel in our own spaces. All of us can't come here until now, so this is what's been happening. Okay? I just got to give you this kind of a prerequisite to make you to understand that I support the PLP in this particular light to ensure that these things are transparent and they find a true sense of sustainability. Simultaneously, because of the type of work that I've done, I have to find out the strengths of this agreement, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the potential threats that could lead us to a position where it's no longer sustainable. That's all this is. This is only a SWOT analysis. This is not condemnation against the PLP. While they were in opposition, their responsibility was with the four of them, with Piceville, with who else it was? It was Piceville, it was the Brave Davis, the Prime Minister now, Glenys Hannah, and I think it was Chester. That was it. With these particular persons in this space, let's just be very clear about this, let's be honest now. With these persons in this space, they went to war with an opposition, with the governing party every day, and they questioned everything. Simultaneously, they were building their organization, redeveloping their organization to step into it. If you fight me for scrutiny, then you fight yourself. This is the way democracy works. This is how you strengthen those potential kinks in your proverbial armor. We got to ask questions to see if this thing makes sense in the first place. The foundation. When we get back, we can be able to find these things. You keep telling me, don't worry, be happy. We can figure it out. Let's take a quick break, guys. We're going to be right back after this. Foundation.
Foundation. The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Fancy this. One-of-a-kind Pesto Club sandwiches from Burger King Nassau like you've never tasted before. Choose from a juicy chicken breast or a 100% flame-grilled beef patty topped with irresistible fresh pesto spread, cheese, crisp bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Or start your mornings right with the Pesto Chicken Croissantwich for breakfast. It's a delicious chicken patty topped with cheese, tomato, and fresh pesto spread on a classic buttery BK croissant. The Pesto Club sandwiches are new, fresh, and only at Burger King Nassau.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-23 Ryan Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. I got to smile when I do these things because you're telling me not to worry. A position that we've been in over the past three administrations. Since the hurricane of 2004, we have relentlessly worried those of us who come from Grand Bahama, who have roots in Grand Bahama, like the old people say, whose navel string is buried in Grand Bahama. We have been worrying about our economic stability. We've been worrying about these particular things. You know, I never forget about the service that I would render. I never forget about it. I just want to have this kind of a conversation with you guys. The guys, the lines are open. If you want to talk with me like this today, it's fine. If not, I'm not going to fight you. Let me know what you want to talk about, right? I was 16 years old. I told you this before. I was 16 years old. I used to cut my father's grass. He taught me how to cut the grass. He taught me the importance of being able to create patterns to see your work. And that principle applied. I took that with me in every aspect of my life. I always did incremental work that I could look back on and say, okay, we at least that done. Let's do so. That's how I started because, you know, I was wild. Just cutting the grass, making an S in the grass and the lawn and all kind of stupidness. My daddy said, boy, stop doing foolishness. Hey, man, don't do this. You take your time with the grass. You go one pattern after another. This is how you cut grass. I said, okay, no problem. And so I learned that, and it became therapeutic for me. It's always been a time for me to be able to pray, right? I like distractions, but I like to be able to be present. So I don't want you to hear what I'm talking and what I'm saying, but I'd like to be able to say it loud, and I just don't want you getting my business. So the lawnmower always afforded me an opportunity to be able to kind of talk to myself and pray, or, you know, walk up with my headphones, my Walkman at the time, and or my CD player at the time, and just listen and just pray, right? And I would never forget this prayer that I said to God. I said, Lord, this life is getting so bad. 16 years old. I think we had just come out of Desert Storm, and some other things was happening during that time, if I could remember correctly. There were some things happening from a global standpoint, and I was old enough to be able to recognize what was happening. And so I started to pray. I said, Lord, I don't know, because, you know, we always had this kind of an idea that Jesus can come back and we can never have a chance to be old. We can never have a chance to be able to experience some things that what it means to be a man or an adult, right? So this is one of the things that, I could remember this vividly, because these are the same conversations that we had in 1999 as we were prepared to graduate and stepping over to the year 2000. Because this Y2K put sort of a fear in us that we would never be able to mature and blossom as adults. This is my class of 99, right? We were afraid. We were afraid that when the clocks kicked over midnight, December 31st, 1999, to January 2000, between all these, these fanatic groups that were coming up and popping up in the United States of America, we thought it was done for us. So we've always had this sort of a language that this is the end times. And so I had a prayer. And I prayed, I said, Lord, if you give me a good, I said, that I love and I that love me. You give me children that I love and that love me. And you give me a good job to take care of these children and my wife. I will serve you forever. Now, I tell you that whole story to let you know that that prayer wasn't rendered for global prayer. It was not a geo-specific prayer. Let's just be very clear with that. It was a prayer that was rendered to God for Grand Bahama. I couldn't see myself outside of Grand Bahama. As I started to peek over this, the ledge of maturity, I couldn't see myself outside of Grand Bahama. I saw survival and thriving in Grand Bahama for me. Since then, I have moved from Grand Bahama so much times. I've moved in Grand Bahama, out of Eight Mile Rock, so much times, you have no idea. Looking for an opportunity to survive, to take care of myself, and to take care of my family. I tried to move off to Colorado. I was indifferent with that. I tried my hardest. I told you stories about trying to get to Miami. I tried my hardest because there wasn't survival for me after 1999 in Grand Bahama. In 2003, I think I made so much money in the hotel. Between 2003 and 2004, I made so much money in the hotel. Yeah, that's just tips, people moving and tipping and money moving like that. After that, everything was dried up. After the Hurricane Frances and Jane, things were dried up. And any conscious person with a very clear understanding and responsibility had to move out of Grand Bahama. Now, there's some people who held on to some jobs like Polymers, like Borco, and it became Buckeye. Pharmachem, which left. There's so much companies that came and left. And as a result of hurricanes, even the brewery had to close down because they were flooded. Grand Bahama was devastated and has been devastated, and we can't put this devastation on any one political organization. I got to give you the backstory for this, and you got to hear my heart. I hope to God this thing is consistent, it provides a sense of persistence and accessibility, real opportunities for persons. Not just merely to be able to get a little job, but entrepreneurial opportunities to be able to tap into something that they've grown over the years. I hope to God it work. I hope so. But I'm saying to you, being cautiously optimistic is nothing that is new to Grand Bahamians. We held our breath for gain. Listen, Orbi was to be able to see any level of relief for Grand Bahama. The FNM yielded members after members who sat in the cabinet, a governor general, and a prime minister, who said he had nothing but affection for Grand Bahama, and still nothing outside of a minister for Grand Bahama, whose department still he knew nothing. So you have to go with me and understand that we already didn't get swing enough. And if I give you the percentage and breakdown of how much times we've been rendered promises just before a general election, and how much times we've been able to see the fruit thereof, you would understand my cautious optimism. But you won't fight me. You won't fight me, and you won't call me a PLP. You won't fight me. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. I lied to you. Today you didn't call me a PLP. You won't fight me and call me an FNM. You don't like Brave. The other day, the man called and said, you have a thing against Pinta. You got to make up your mind. Make up your mind. I can't be all over the place. Only way I could do that and render any level of criticism to these men, these organizations, is if I'm looking through this nationalistic lens. And you keep fighting me. Let's talk about these things. Lines are wide open. 323-622-32-325-4316. 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of violence. 242-300. 5720. Hit me up. 422-4796. Caller, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Howard. How are you today?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
I'm fine. Miss Victoria Wright thought you well, Howard.
Miss Wright. Yes, she was my principal. I love her so bad.
I said, that's my aunt.
Oh, that's your aunt?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Back to this thing about the Grand Bahama, about the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I think the FNM, Michael Pintard, Shannon Cartwright, Tracy Thompson, and the rest of them, they did themselves and the FNM a disservice by not showing up. Let me explain to you why I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Thompson and Michael Pintard lives in Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
They are members of parliament for Grand Bahama, okay, mm-hmm. for constituencies in Grand Bahama. How is it? You think only PLPs was at that celebration? No.
Mm-hmm.
If the U.S. Embassy and the Port Authority could agree on this type of invitation that's been sent out, right,
mm-hmm.
and to take advantage of you think the U.S. Embassy, without advice, are going to come and attend a ceremony if they didn't do their due diligence? Let's be realistic now, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? This is a good thing. That's taking place in Grand Bahama on the onset. Let me tell you why. 3/4 of the funding that the governments have spent on that particular hotel, they have regained in the $120 million. Okay? They purchased a hotel for $65 million at first,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it?
Yeah, $65.
Okay. Now, we got $120 million. We're on a good start. Okay? It's almost...
Hold on.
Right? We might be short by a few million dollars, but...
We short by $30-something million. We short by $30-something million, of which I don't expect the government to recoup.
What I'm saying to you,
yeah.
We got 3/4 of the funding.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's a good start. Okay? Unlike some other deals that bring broad gas, nothing has happened. At least this particular company has already taken down a few structures. So they're showing you that they're serious about their investment. Okay? The government is also showing you, and like the Prime Minister said, there was no excuse why Michael Pintard those didn't attend because they were invited. They were given invitation to come. Okay? And the reason why I have a problem with the reporter reporting what the Prime Minister said about Michael Pintard, but she didn't report what the Prime Minister, the reason why the Prime Minister said he was answering Michael Pintard for disrespecting his father. Okay? That's the reason why he said what he said, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the reporter didn't rebut. That's the first thing he said before he said what he said about Mr. Pintard. Have a nice day, sir.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your telephone call. And I hear what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying for the most part. $65 million. They recouped $120 million. Over the course of time, I think we spent about $150 million with $1 million a month being spent just for the upkeep, maintenance, and sort of subvention for those workers that are in that particular space during that time, right? And so they didn't make no tremendous amount of money. And this was going to be, they had to bite the bullet, right? So if they spent $120 million and the value or the expectation just to be able to break even was $150 million, so they're $30 million short. But if you look at the overall concept and idea, if everything comes to fruition, if this is another, if this is not another gain, if we could be able to lean on the words of those persons from Concord and their Concord Wiltshire and their commitment to being able to do these things, there's an expectation that within 36 months, the government could be able to see that back significantly with this partnership for growth and development in the country, in the city of in Grand Bahama. And so this could be able to lead to a trickle effect where there is an economic boom, right? So people start to move back home. They open up different stuff. They bring in different business there. Persons are attracted to this particular place again. And, you know, you start to open up the borders, people moving around, things are happening. Okay, great, great. Yeah. You bite the bullet for $30 million. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. The F&M couldn't do it. The FN didn't do it. $60 million, you purchased it for, you held on to it, then you held on to it, and you held on to it, and you went to a general election, a snap election, with unresolved issues. And now the PLP had to take on this kind of this burden to figure out how do we jumpstart the economy in Grand Bahama to make these particular things happen. Yeah, this is not what I'm scrutinizing or dissecting. That's not what I'm scrutinizing or dissecting. The governor of the Bahamas, after they've rendered hope, has given us some tangible hope, something that we could see, feel, touch, and make a determination that, okay, now we can move forward with this. That's not what I'm scrutinizing. I am simply asking and hoping to God that this could be able to be level, that could be transparent, that there's nothing untowards, that this agreement that you've made had to do with a true sense of growth and development for the Bahamian people. And more specifically for the Grand Bahamian people who seek to return to a space that belongs to them. If you would just hear our hearts and not think with your eyes of politics, I think we could be able to get to a place for growth and development of the country. You could accept that this, the scrutiny that's being rendered to you is because of a real desire to return to a place that they know. Don't fight me. Let me take this last telephone call and go to a break. Caller on the line, go ahead.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
I'm fine. I did hear you said you will be giving out an invitation to invite all the political leaders, especially the leader of the opposition. Am I right on that?
Yeah, all the time.
All right, sir. Well, I deal with a group of men, and we have a concern that was stated by the leader. I think he was bullied by a bunch of liberal sisters in that particular organization. And the statement was made that when he become prime minister, he will make marital rape law. We would like for you to state that question to him, and we need an answer. How can he allow a group of liberals to bully him into making that statement and as yet not being elected?
What group you deal with? You want to talk about that?
Excuse me, sir?
What's the group that you deal with?
What group?
Yeah, what's the grouping? What's your group called?
The 100% alpha male man. We more than a term. I'm kind of confused in that statement that was made by him.
100% alpha male man? Well, why you ain't called me? I want to be part of this too, right? I said alpha male.
We got to interview you and make sure that you are a 100% alpha male man, and your wife have to give the resume.
Oh, my God. I like this. Okay, my brother. I can put it to him. Now, the prime minister already... Now, call me on 8270111 so I can interview you on you and your man on the show.
Okay.
8270111.
Maybe you could follow up now and throw that question out. He have a group of liberals bully him into making that statement. And these liberals have issues with God. We would like to know how do he stand by that statement that was made by him.
Okay, we can talk about it, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call. Guys, I'm going to take this commercial break. And when we get back, we can talk about these things. But I don't want to convolute the water. I don't want to muddy the water. I don't. I think during political times, we always get off course. And being able to, that's probably one of the reasons why we never see any productivity during times when we get to, sort of a stone throw away from general elections. Because as soon as you bring up this issue and we start to dissect, let somebody come with something else, Now, all unresolved issues, all are issues that are on the table nationally. But we could never be able to dissect the issues that stand before us if we keep throwing things at this. It's like just throwing baloney. Remember Howard Stern used to do it? Throw baloney at the wall and see whether or not it sticks. Yeah, we can't do that. We got to be able to find a better way to have these kind of a conversation. So let me take this quick break, guys. I'm going to be right back after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
The foundation. We'll be back.
The foundation.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 a rule. Felt, 15 pounds, $16.50, 30 pounds, $19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of Roof Cement, $33.47. All sizes, treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half-inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Let your taste buds dive into a paradise with Marco's new Tropical Jerk Pizza. Enjoy a succulent grilled chicken pizza topped with tangy pineapples, zesty banana peppers, and our signature jerk sauce. Starting at just $12.95 and available in all sizes. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Make the right choice and order one today at marcospizzabahamas.com. No one makes pizza quite like we do.
Only one item? Are you tired of limited choices?
I'll have the one item on the menu, thank you.
Wow! So many choices! Why settle for less when you deserve more? When it comes to the ways you pay, the more, the better. With a variety of payment options available, you can enjoy the freedom to choose what works best for you. Choose freedom. Choose flexibility. Choose from the full menu of payment options. The future of pay is digital.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
They see me rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty, 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 trying to catch me riding dirty. My music's so loud, I'm swinging, they hoping that they gon' catch me riding dirty, trying to catch me riding dirty.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. It seems as though this political season, everyone's going to be riding dirty. It's too much. It's just too much. Listen to the speech for the Prime Minister just now over the break. And getting a couple of texts and says, oh my God, Howard, that was a little bit low. I get a couple of texts being able to talk about those things. And we know the space that we're in. This, I can't levy condemnation against these men. This is the rhythm in which they do these things. But to be able to denigrate a man in front of his wife and children, oh my God. To say that you're lousy and you never could do nothing as my wife eats. And my children are content. And even the dew in the morning don't hit them when they lay on the pillow. To say that I can't do nothing is a heavy thing. And I'm sad to see the denigration of our political language that continues to be able to stoop to new lows. Even when we step into a space of a new day administration, or when we're unstoppable together. I suppose that when you get yourself to war, And this is probably why men are considered men of war. When they get to this particular point, no matter the concepts, the ideas, the theories, they only apply what has worked. They only apply those things that they've seen and used in the past. And so this language, this posture, this denigration, this condescension has only been used in the past. Y'all smarter than this. And just this is me. It's only 400,000 of us. Ain't much us. You're smarter than this. You don't have to use this language for me to choose you. You just have to give me hope. You just have to put a good structure together. You just got to be able to present yourself accordingly. You just got to have those people on your team unified to the point where no matter what comes from an external standpoint, we're collectively moving towards this particular objective. I don't have to cuss you. I ain't got to talk about your ma, your pa, your granddaddy. I got to do those things. I present myself strong, relentless, and put my case there to bear before the Bahamian people. To ask the question, where has Michael Pintard ever worked, is a wild question. Did he ever call you and ask you for anything? I don't want to offend nobody. I just want to ask you questions. Does he? And this is my fear of getting into politics because, you know, I'm from 8 Mile Rock. And as a man in 8 Mile Rock, we don't run on with too much talks too long. No, unless this comedy hour at Joker's Wild, we ain't running on with too much talks too long. Actually, I'm from 8 Mile Rock. Yeah. And the rock is essential at this particular point. And you start running on like that, and when you start running on, they start looking down and around and around. So the difficulty of being able to really stand in this space, in this kind of a space, is wild for me. All the best to you guys. But I will not be reporting on foolishness like that. I can't. It's just, for me, I don't understand it. I don't want nobody talking to me like that. And listening, my children listening. Nobody, huh? You all got to stop, man. You all got to stop. We got to have some level of respect for each other as men. Now, if you want to be able to put and assess whether or not he's productive, whether or not he's produced, whether or not he could be able to do those things, identify the spaces that he has been. Did he produce when he was the chairman of the Free National Movement? Did he produce when he sat in this particular position as a senator? Did he produce when he was sitting in the position as minister for agriculture? Did he produce in these particular spaces? If not, bring that to the forefront. Yeah, let's bring that to the forefront. Yeah, somebody text me, rocks or shots. This is heavy. This is where I come from. I got in a fight in grade 9. I don't think I ever tell my daddy this. Somebody braced me on my neck with a rock, right? Big fight in grade 9. Ninth grade, my friend Calvano was living during this time. And it was a violent fight. But it was like the last day of school, so you couldn't go to the doctor, to the principal's office or to Mr. Delancey. Right? You couldn't go to those things. It was done. It was the last day of school. We walking home. We got you now. Bang. It was those things, right? It was one of those things. And it was very simple. It was a very simple fight. I had learned from the principles of those men that fought before me, those young men that fought before me. I never watched men in my school talk too long. We used to have the 2x4, which you put in the window. You remember that? You push the window open with the 2x4. If I tell you all this story, y'all gonna think I'm violent. If I tell you all this story, but any power people know, they put the window. This fella running on with me, running on. And then he touched me and made me free. Free to access that negative energy to fight. Oh, God. Me and my friend, who I told you was a police officer, boy, we get deep fight. Deep fight, boy. And we didn't say six words. We got to find a way to get to our objective without being able to denigrate someone else. If this is the level of your fight, we have to fix that. And this is why politics is non-productive in this country, because this is estrogen energy. To find a way to relentlessly be able to speak without the actions, all you have to do is point to what you have done and give a contrast to what has not been done. Never forget that Hubert Ingraham and Perry Christie, leading up to the 2012 election. Was it 2012 or 2007? 2007 election. When you open up the Tribune and you open up the Nassau Guardian and you look on those paper, two full-page ads in the paper when you bust the paper open. On one side of the paper, the FNM bill, this. Since 2002 to 2012, the PLP bill, zero. I will never forget that. That was a hell of a fight. It was tangible. It was realistic. It was something that you could be able to, no bunch of words. It just show you, we build this. Boom. What did the PLP do in this time? Zero. It was visually tantalizing. These orators of words that continue to take you down a spiraling hole of absolute nothingness is a journey and a ride that I don't want to take. It's an exhausting one. 323-622-3235-325-4259. Anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Ain't nothing wrong with me saying raise the bar. It is nothing wrong with me saying to you, raise the bar. There is nothing wrong for me saying that. You come here, tell us it's a new day, and you're giving us the same old jive. There is nothing wrong with me saying to you, raise the bar politically. The politicians after you practicing the same stupidity, you know. These people that are older statesmen that I see are taking their walking tickets. I don't know. They're leaving the organization gradually. Within the PLP and rendering themselves over to a new generation of vultures. You listen to some of these younger politicians, you hear their language, their posture, the way that they speak, the level of condescension, the belief that they've arrived. They haven't accomplished anything as yet, anything. And their language is, what the hell is our politics going to become? They can't even collectively identify a grouping of people that would execute a job when they ain't there. They don't have that level of power yet to even speak with that condescension, but they're using it. Because this is how they assume, presume, identify politics to be in this country. You got to fix this thing, man. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Yes, Howard. How are you doing? Seattle Johnson.
What's up, Seattle?
Yeah. Hey, Howard. Can I talk to you about the orange economy?
Go ahead, Seattle.
Okay. The orange economy is the fourth largest economy in the world. Only the United States, China, and Germany as an economy larger than the orange economy. The orange economy consists of industries like film, design, art, digital content, cultural value, heritage value. It's moving to the role of fostering innovation, cultural exchange, and hospitality. And the hospitality and tourism market, it is the fastest growing sector there is in the world today. It consists of about 3% or more the global economy. In fact, China's entire economy is 20% or more of the comes from the orange economy. And the reason I speak to that is that if you actually heard the Progressive Liberal Party political platform, and more specifically, where the one they continuously speak of Grand Bahama, it speaks of the orange economy. Why is that important?
Mm-hmm.
That prime minister, no one is a real job. The economy that he promised to build, the economy that Ginger Moxie often speaks of, but we have yet to see come to realize. And so
this is a contradiction.
It's absolutely. No, okay. But it proves why they have not done anything, what they said about it in 4 years, because they are just giving us lip service because they don't recognize this real job. They don't think junkanooers. They don't think carnival. They don't think straw vendors and any artisan, any playwright utilizing the social media platforms. They are not real jobs if you take the prime minister at his word.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. So if you look at China's economy, 20% of their economy depends on it. It's a creative economy. It directly ties into the data economy. It ties directly into the knowledge economy that the prime minister said that we need to move towards.
Yeah, but the prime minister and even the men that served in yesteryear from different administrations, they often, like ministers, would have taken on this kind of a posture and saying that they got to tap into innovation, they got to tap into creativity, they got to tap into youth, they got to provide more opportunities for young people. All this is just a bunch of jive, what they say. This is just words that they give us.
Absolutely. Now, Howard, this is why I've encouraged you to say what I've often encouraged you to say. The individuals that actually say these utterances, these platitudes they give us, you know, concerning the which, the when, and the why, but none of them could tell us the how, because these are mimicry. These are concepts they bought the public domain to sway us to think they understand, and we never question them to the how. This is why we hear stuff like the aquamarine economy, digital economy, conceptual economy, knowledge economy, shared economy, AI economy, energy economy, tokenization economy, all these different things that they use.
But even if, and see, Alan, and I appreciate the telephone call. Thank you so much for your telephone call. Even if they're able to articulate it, even if they could be able to give us each tentacle from the base of what they're speaking about, they still ain't going to apply it. They still ain't going to listen to me. Oh, God, when we can have a real conversation in this country. These men in this country are grappling with their own and the idea of what sovereignty really is. That's what they are, man. Come on, man. Let's be honest in this country, man. We don't have to tap into no conspiracy theories and all this kind of foolishness. Let's be very clear and honest of what we're seeing here. The men in this country don't have autonomy unto themselves. The men in this country that ascend to leadership. Now, in the ascension, you present autonomy, strength, conviction, faith, steadfastness, commitment. And the ascension, as you ascend to the position of power, as you ascend to a cabinet's position, as you ascend to an MP's position, as you ascend to the potential prime minister's position, you present these convictions and this package. You got it together. You got it together. But after you've nestled yourself in this seat, you question what really is autonomy. That's what you question. And then you question, do we really have sovereignty? And based upon the information that's presented to you from the past, you have to fall in line. Your aspirations means nothing here because governments are continuous. And we will continue to genuflect to these people who are taking care of us so we could have a floating society. And these men don't have the strength. They don't know how to. Because if you step outside of that, that means the walls will come down. They don't have the faith to believe that we could build the walls back up in this nation. And so we continue to be able to render our strength to another nation, to everyone else. We give our strength to everyone else. And the most appalling thing that I see is when we take this presumed, identified, morphed faith and conviction from our small island nations and have a conglomerate of absolute confusion that is CARICOM. I hate to see that. I hate to see these men and women who grapple with the idea of what autonomy and sovereignty is in their own small spaces go to CARICOM and carry that confusion there and hear Mia Motley come out and say, well, we have sovereignty. We have all these things. But, you know, let's ask for leniency. Let's ask for... Come, I'm confused. And this is the level that we have in this country. This is where we are in this country. These men come here and give us platitudes and articulate posture and this kind of an idea. They give these grandiose things. They get the graphic designers. They put everything together for their campaign to give a good, strong campaign. And when it comes time to apply that, they're indifferent. They speak to us about time. They speak about application, and then they deviate against the time and application and say, if you give us another chance, we will definitely get it done the second time around. These are the men that we're talking about in the FNM and in the PLP. Let's not just, you know, these men, and you can't say that they're cowards, you know. I can't call them cowards. I can't say that these are weak men. I can't, man. To ascend to a position above 400,000 people or a growing population, to find yourself nestled and identified in a position of leadership, to be viewed in your organization as a good leader, for people to support you, for you to find yourself in the position of a prime minister, you cannot be a weak man. You have to be strategic. You have to be consistent. You have to be persistent. You have to be strong. But I believe that you have to make a choice. And look at your career, longevity, your legacy. And if they take on the choice and the position of being able to fight for the Bahamian people, they could possibly lose everything else that they've been working on all this time. Case in point, former Prime Minister Perry Christie. Former Prime Minister Perry Christie befriended and held good relationships with Sarkis Ismailian in the onset and the run-up to the concept that he pitched to the Bahamian people on behalf of this man who family come from South Africa and all those particular things came here with this great, great, great concept. And the government of the Bahamas gave him 100 and some acres or however much acres he got for this particular concept, gave him the paper to shop around the world. He took this paper, shopped around the world with this paper, finally came back with some nearly $4 billion, developed this particular project, and as soon as he hit a rough patch, the government of the Bahamas had to make a decision. They didn't make a decision based upon their camaraderie. They didn't make a decision based upon their position. They made a position based, they made a decision based upon the fact that they needed to be able to build legacy. Perry Christie take all of his eggs that he hatched around the proverbial field that is called the Bahamas over 40 years, yucked them and put them in one basket, which was called Bahama, and pray to God it work. Then Sarkis Ismailian was falling down, not because of him, based upon information that we would have heard before, and now we would have seen come out for CCA. And Perry Gladstone Christie chose the stronger, from what it appeared to be, the stronger entity financially to be able to finish this thing. Now, he ain't tell you, but I feel like he have egg on his face. But they're content with what happened, and if it all work out in the end, then praise God. These men grapple with autonomy of themselves and sovereignty of this country. They don't understand how it is work, so they only do what men of yesteryear did. And none of y'all want to have that conversation. Y'all want to play and believe that what this one is saying. None of this have nothing to do with nationalism and a true sense of growth. None of this. All this is absolute garbage. None of this has to do with nationalism and ensuring that the next generation is secured in this country. This ain't helping us with education. This ain't helping us with no true entrepreneurialism. This ain't helping us with the technological advancement. This is a perpetuation of the exact same thing that we've seen yesterday. And I only ask it whether or not this idea, that is a fleeting idea from yesteryear, can be able to be sustained for tomorrow. And you're fighting me. You're fighting my guts out. You're killing me. How dare I ask these things? Howard, how dare you even show a semblance of autonomy? You know that we fall in line. Are you stupid? We fall in line with this space. How dare you? How dare you? Have you seen anyone else in this region? Howard, do you know financially these people are in better positions than we are? Do you want something to happen? Come on, man. Y'all got to be kidding with me. Why do we put you in these places, man? you can't find yourself with grip to stand strong and convicted to make a decision for the Bahamian people, I, honest to God, we will stand behind you, win, lose, or draw. God got to come true for us. But you've rejected that. Quick break, gonna be right back after this.
The foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Hey!
What's up?
Alive Fiber NBA fans, mark your calendars. Saturday, May 24th at Flamingo Gardens Park. Join us for an adrenaline-pumping three-point shootout and dunk contest. Enjoy your favorite food vendors, drinks, awesome prizes, and fun for everyone. Plus, we'll be announcing the winners of our NBA Sweepstakes Live.
It's showtime!
Don't miss out. See you there. Visit the live social media pages for more information.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
It's time to give away a cruise. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean off the seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right. No visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Number one, fill out the form in the NASA Guardian. Number two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Number three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Number four, or make a purchase at any Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing will be taking place on July 4th, 2025. So you know what that means? Pack your bags and get ready to soak up the sun and feel the ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Let's go right straight to the lines, ladies and gentlemen. The lines are wide open. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Howard.
Hey.
What's the Prime Minister Simpson saying? When you be hired to absorb a monitor position, you must get scrutinized. See if you could do the work. Your last recipe, reading work, you could do the work. We don't hire you and come to find out you can't do the work. So what happened then? Simple.
Well, you know, I'm trying to hear what you're saying. You're saying that the Prime Minister is trying to say that if he hired you in a managerial position, go ahead.
Yeah. You have to be scrutinized. Any company you apply for a job, you're a manager. You just don't go. You got to scrutinize for a large job. You qualify to do the work. Or what? We can't hire you left until you can do the work.
So this is the interview period. That's what you're saying. This is the interview period.
Interview.
Okay. All right. I accept that. I accept what you're saying. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands. 242-300-5720. Hit me up 422-4796. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Howard.
Hey.
Hey, Howard.
What's up, Papa? What's up?
Howard, I wanted to find out something from you, if it's possible. You know, I can't see the papers, but not because I can't see. I still get my ears open and listening to the news. You see anything from Obi Ferguson? I think he still is the president of TUC who deals with the doctors and the young nurses, you know, like a week ago.
No, I haven't seen nothing from Obi.
They just say the deal is not fall true, but they saying, like, the government cannot, like, the dog eat the homework. Like, they worried saying mean nothing. And, you know, this lead from them protesting the other day, and the prime minister reminding us that he have a relative, I think one of his children, is a doctor, and he say he feel the pain. He wanted to sort of this being like months ago, must be from around in February or March. So I was wondering if Obie Ferguson come out and say anything yet.
No.
Then when I listened to your news today, sound like Ms. Pia Glover-Roll, the minister. Mm-hmm. She sounded like they having some kind of forum that they working with the unions trying to sort of, and it sounded like something what they didn't do before. And they
yeah, yeah. She said, I think last week or week before that they, she's trying to be able to finalize an agreement that they came to a conclusion on. And so I believe that that's what it is.
No. This meeting today, the labor society community, to make things better between the workers and the government or whosoever the union are part of.
Yeah.
I listen to your news. Maybe you just listen to the news and you'll hear to the Guardian news. And
I see nothing here with Obie Ferguson.
What they didn't talk about before, and I was wondering.
Obie Ferguson ain't got nothing to say.
Huh?
Obie Ferguson don't have anything to say.
Obie Ferguson, you mean about the nurses saying
that? Yeah,
I'm
looking around now and I don't see him have anything to say about these things.
Okay, on your news, there's a gentleman, I think he's the director, the chairman of labor. His last name is Johnson. I listened to him a couple of times when we had different issues in the Bahamas here on the family for the last 3-4 years on the family and stuff like that. This gentleman is doing a great job. I say that to say, when or if the government change, they need to keep people like them there who takes responsibility, who don't just want position, and when something go bad, they don't take responsibility. If you listen to Johnson, what he was saying about what's going on, either Normansky or one of the keys them with the workers, the Bahamian people, them, he say a little more than, like you know, maybe the reporter pull it out of him, but I hear him live on the TV. He's doing a good job as the director or the chairman. We need to keep people like that in position when we change this government. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your telephone call. Let me take the next call. Caller on the line, go ahead.
Howard, what's up, brother?
All is well, man. What's happening?
All is well?
Yeah.
Howard, I want to ask a question, right? You from Grand Bahama, I from Grand Bahama, right? That's it. Grand Bahama is not a PLP town. Let's get this straight, all right? The most seats we ever win in Grand Bahama was 3 seats. And Howard, you know, I might get condemned for saying this, but when Grand Bahama was Grand Bahama, when it comes to the Free National Movement government then, that when they had your mom, you had other members of parliament, and you also had Edward St. George and Sir Jack Hewitt in that time, during that time living.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I tell someone, Grand Bahama, from the Bazaar, from Castle Bahama, from Port Lucaya, from Edward St. George and Jack Hewitt passed away, Grand Bahama hypothetically going down to the dogs.
Mm.
And now the Progressive Liberal Party government trying their best to bring Grand Bahama back to some sort of normalcy. Howard, let's not forget, over 4.5 years ago, you had 5 members of parliament from West Grand Bahama to East Grand Bahama. What did they start in Grand Bahama? Not what they finished, but tell the Bahamian people today what Mr. Michael Pintard, my school. You have a good day, my brother.
Okay. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. It sounded like you dropped at the very last end, but you came back. So like that. Now, I don't want us to speak in the language of favor that the government of the Bahamas has done for an abandoned island. I mean, that's how I feel, like a stepchild, right? But Grand Bahama is the second largest. Not, I don't think now we can be identified as that. I think Abaco and Exum will find themselves strategically placed in the position. But Grand Bahama was the second largest economic engine in this country. That's Grand Bahama. Okay? The government of the Bahamas and the agitation that the PLP has rendered to the Grand Bahama Port Authority and now the projects, even those with the administrative error, of being able to come for $183 million for the road in West Grand Bahama, with the concept and idea and the focus on the development of the airport in Grand Bahama. This administration, this new day administration, is showing us not necessarily concern for the purposes of being able to find a seat, but a very clear understanding of the responsibility that they have to ensure that they could jumpstart the economic engine, the largest economic engine in the country. Now, whether or not the government is going to be able to say this to you during a political time is that they have to find a socio-economic balance in this country. They have to find a balance in this country. There's too much people on Nassau. And these people can't afford to live here. They can't afford it. When you could have been content home, on your generational property, on these particular spaces that you could be able to do something. And I got to commend the government. If you're going to be able to move to ensure that there's land reform, that persons could be able to access this, to get capital, to do something with it, praise God. But the government of the Bahamas has a responsibility to be able to jumpstart the economic engine that is sluggish on Grand Bahama. The economic engine is sluggish. It ain't that the PLP. No one cares. Being into the depth of politics just yet, the government of the Bahamas has a responsibility to ensure that all cylinders are firing. Exuma, Abaco, Eleuthera, Grand Bahama, Andrus, every place, Bimini, kicking on all cylinders. They got to go back down to San Salvador, figure out what's going on with Club Med. They got to work to get the economic engine pumping and going in Grand Bahama. They borrow $400 million. They waste the $400 million in two. They take $200 million, say they can build something in Grand Bahama. They're out here building airports. If you build an airport that's going to be a ghost town, you're wasting money. You got to figure out how we can get people there, how we can get people back, how we can be able to do these things. Everybody upset about Bahamas Air prices going up. They got to figure out how to get money back. They got to pay bills. Ain't nobody doing you no favor because you was a PLP. Well, you all deserve for them. You know, we really shouldn't check for you. What sense that make? Irresponsible. And it'll be a demerit against the legacy that you seek to build in politics. You mean to tell me that these men waited their entire lives for an opportunity to be able to... And then when they get there, they make a determination, well, we really don't have to do nothing for Grand Bahama. You know, that don't really make no sense. There ain't no PLP. We can't get no seats from them. No how. It don't make sense to me. The government of the Bahamas and the former government of the Bahamas had hell on their hands. And I think that that's one of the reasons that people aren't articulating that there should have been more focus placed with the DRC. I think it was the DRC, right? In Grand Bahama, the Department of Environment. No, I mean the oh Lord, I can't remember what the entity called. They should have placed more emphasis on the development of Abaco. In the wake of the destruction that's happening there. I could tell you these things because I presented concepts after concepts about the potential that could happen, and I was smiled out of the room. My team and I were smiled out of the room. When we said, oh, we have a barge that we could be able to clean up. I have partners locally and internationally. These are no little boy things. I sit in West Palm Beach with my partners, and my partners construct these particular things. We went to our lawyers. We signed up these particular agreements. I presented these things to the government of the Bahamas, and I said to them, we have three barges. We have a location in South Carolina. We'd like to be able to clean up Abaco and do this, this, and this. These are the access that we have. We have over 60 machines. We could do this, this, and this. I'd like to hire these people. I'm going to stop playing. The government of the Bahamas have a responsibility to all of us. All of us. You think I care who it is? All of us. But their care and concern is consumed in superficiality, consumed in their political aspect. And now you will have a demerit against your legacy. I don't. Next time, go ahead.
Hey, Howard, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just listening and hoping for the best, but I trust that our leaders know what they're doing. But apparently, they don't. Okay. When you want to deflect, and I hope Mr. Pintad could be a statesman here and don't follow that demon down that rabbit hole by throwing darts behind him because it's going to only stir up his base.
But hold on. Michael Pintad may have shook that hornet's nest first when he said he ain't brave, he is Philip. And that may have left an unsettling sting.
I didn't hear that. Yeah, well, you know, I trust that we could all move away from these, this throwing fire at one another.
Because I agree with
that's
you.
What Lucifer likes. And I often say, you know, this politics seem to be a choice between two evils. Because I have yet to see anyone who come with clarity and promises and they keep the promise. And if they fail to keep the promise, they come to the people and say, well, we couldn't because of this. Not that we ain't going to do it no more. We change our mind. that's the devil himself.
My God.
Okay?
I appreciate
and we
it.
We seem to have been harboring Satanism in our culture for far too long. I mean, we've been grossed in it because of slavery. We seem to can't realize. If we read the Ethiopian Bible, we may see things a little bit more clearly. Because we really been tainted. But I hope Michael Pintard would calm that down. Don't stir that up no more. And teach the people love.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for your telephone call. I will be very clear with you. Michael Pintard and the Free National Movement don't have no time to run on with no jive. You got to be able to present us with a manifesto. You got to be able to ensure that we could identify unified positions in your organization. You got to be able to show us that you are ever ready. You got to be able to ratify these particular candidates. If not ratification specifically, you have to at least shave down the amount of persons in those various constituencies, 4 or 5, I don't know how much more, in various constituencies vying for an opportunity to be. I don't have the time to run on with foolishness. I have work to do. I out here working. Yeah, that's what the opposition of the Bahamas need to churn out work and not words. Because words ain't getting us nowhere. Words just, it's all they're doing is just floating out your mouth, boom, right to the ground. That don't mean nothing because we hear it before. Floating out your mouth. We're looking at the words come out your mouth and we watching it hit the ground like an anvil. Because it means nothing. Yeah, this is nothing that we've done simply because Brave Davis is now sitting at the helm as prime minister of the country, that we have not heard this from him or former members of the PLP before. We've heard this kind of a posture, this language. This is what we've identified culturally as political language. I denigrate it. I condemn it. I believe that a New Day administration, especially with fresh blood, should be able to infuse this with a conversation to talk about technology, growth, development, different aspects for all. Yeah. This is nothing that you would care to an international space. I suppose that this is what Clint meant when you're sitting down in our audience. This is the kind of conversation you have with us. But you would never take this internationally. This is not our prime minister. We want an international polished prime minister to present a New Day agenda today. That's where we born. Yeah, stop tapping into the old war chest. This is the old-time war chest that we want to get rid of. Because you're teaching our children to be dumb and stupid with language like this, man. That it's okay to use this language. I don't really need a B or A in the BGCSE. I just need to tell people, but they're ma. I just need to learn how to cuss properly. We got to do better than this. Let me take a caller before we get in here. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Howard Grant.
Hey, what's up, my brother?
Yeah, you know, Howard, you're so correct. You know, only an imbecile would disagree with you, right? But, you know, I'm sickened at the level of imbecility on the airways and the lack of and the animizing of callers, right? But I wanted to say as it relates to the situation in Norman's Key, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have 2 family members who work down there. So I can call and find out firsthand what's going on rather than listening to the news. And I've had a young lady just walked out of my shop saying that her daughter works down there and she was talking about the problem, but she didn't draw attention until she was fired, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as it relates to the airway power and the freedom of speech, I didn't know that a caller can call and say that you guys should stop posting my calls, right? I suffered a personal attack this morning from a very nice lady, seemed to be. I don't know if she's a political troll or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever, just some correction here, Howard. Did you saw me the other day in Guardian, right?
Yeah, I saw you.
I'm a raster, right?
Yeah.
Do I look like I'm haughty and all that, Howard?
No, you're very meek. I didn't know unless you opened your mouth that was you.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So mm-hmm. What I'm saying is people hear me and they get me mixed up being some high society fool, right? Have I called myself ignorant on the radio before? Have I called myself a dummy? Have I called myself a sheep? I've said all these things. I've called myself all of these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a person calling, personally attacking me, telling me, and actually, I'm thinking about I should try and sue them because you can't come and say things that I don't say.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm afraid of, Howard, is that the politicians, who was being logically contemptuous to the behemoth people more than politicians, Howard,
mm.
yet still we still vote for them and deify them, right?
Mm.
Howard, am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah.
over the time. Now, I wanted to raise the question, and I would like for you and Lang, maybe somebody. I've called Lang Show many times, and Lang have educated me on a lot of things, and I admit to being ignorant about a number of things. But when you get another caller saying, during the pandemic, I'm just trying to let them know, Howard, I look like I was dismayed by their conversations or trying to be, I'm trying to say, Howard, you know I don't call these shows to be liked or disliked. You know that, right, Howard?
Right.
Expression of, so what I'm saying is, when you, the airwaves are for educating yourself. So even though I may make postulations unto the underread, they may feel as if I'm incorrect. But if I have to speak, walk over someone to get the truth out, then that's so be it, Howard.
Mm.
That's the same thing you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So don't lambast me and say 52 is this person and that person when they don't even know me, Howard.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? I've never been contemptuous. I didn't, no personal attack on anybody, all right?
So that's somebody call and so say some things with you.
I'm calling and then telling you all what to do.
Wow.
Go call Erica. Give thanks. Yeah.
I appreciate you. I didn't know nobody called and said anything about you. Let me see if I can take the next telephone call before we get out of here. Call on the line. Go ahead. Next caller, 323-622-3232-54316. 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Go ahead, caller.
My brother, how you doing?
I good, man. What's happening?
My God is good. You know, people got it. I heard that one gentleman call comparing what the government is doing now in Freeport, right, and how much MPs are saying. Listen to me. And I hope he could listen to me because I always wanted to meet him to really educate him. Any government is continuous. Under the Free National Movement, if I could remember, those persons who were working at the hotel, I think their government, whoever they are, doesn't matter if it's PLP and FNM, the government is responsible for this country. And if they could produce jobs and to save some persons from being unemployed, then that's what they do. You have to give credits on both sides. I think both governments are trying to do the best for the Bahamian people. Under the Free National Movement, I think I remember they retained persons at that hotel. I think they're going to be let go now because, you know, they just signed under new ownership. And I think their construction can start maybe late 2006 and completion 28.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying you have to give credit with both governments who are working on behalf of the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about throwing mud at this one and that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at Freeport now, I'm sure there are developments that were done even when the Free National Movement was there. I'm sure they are underway, already started. So, but they are governments. It continues. So the credit is for the governments. If the FNM left something in Freeport or Western, whatever they're doing now, the government of the day, they're going to cut the ribbon. It's the government.
Mm.
So we have to be mature. And the Bahamians are not as dumb as you think or they think we are. Both sides, FNM and PLP, you got to come tough with the Bahamians. They ain't going to be carried away with no little situation. They want to see things happen. They don't want to wait years later. So Bahamians are very smart. And they also, you better be careful.
And
don't insult these Bahamian people.
And they're becoming very demanding because
I'm
know what
you
could do.
And FNM and PLP,
yeah.
They will. I have good friends on both sides.
Yeah.
And some of them tell me, Jim, they're not happy with what's going on, you know.
I hear that.
And they are intelligent PLPs and they are intelligent FNMs.
Yeah, I hear
that. There's a warning to all candidates, all CI, wherever CIO and whoever they are, FNM, PLP. When you come into these Bahamian people, come in to speak to them for your vote, you have to be articulate. You have to say exactly what your government has done, what your government, and fight and show exactly, hey, this is what we've done on paper. We can prove this is what we have done, and we're trying to do this. I commend both governments trying to get that hotel sold in Freeport.
Yeah.
There should be no mudslinging between neither governments because they were trying to help the Freeport people.
Yeah.
Okay, so I see people coming on, they're trying their political stuff. There's that gentleman who came on the radio. I really need to have a good talk to him because I wonder if he understands what continuous governance are and what a Bahamian. We are Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't born PLP and FNM,
no.
Nor UBP.
No.
Okay? I have families who are UBPs, you know. But the point is, it ain't about the name or the color.
Wow.
And you all got to stop this nonsense coming on the radio talking fool.
Mm-hmm.
Get your facts together. Governments are in power, and they are in power to serve all of us.
All
and
of us.
If they don't do the
Absolutely.
Job right, they're gone. And
Thank
I
you.
See every 5 years, that's why I tell them, please do not take Bahamians for granted. And don't think because you're PLP, the PLP can vote for you, you know. Because remember, in 1992, PLPs voted for the FNM.
Absolutely.
And then they switched to PLP. So ain't no guarantee. Guys, listen to me. If you sit, do not run. That's for FNM and PLPs. If you know you're not, you're a lazy minister, and you're talking...
Well, ain't nobody gonna admit, I appreciate the telephone call, nobody gonna admit they're lazy. But we are the ones who should know you by your fruits. We are the ones that have been reading a couple of these texts before we get out of here. It says, good afternoon, Howard. Why are we still creating just jobs? We need to hold some type of ownership or a government partnership with a hotel in Freeport. That's why we as a country would make some percentage from the profits. It's a text that's coming through. Let's see if we can read a couple more. All right. This is Prime Minister Davis. Prime Minister Davis, this is bananas. Are you serious? Someone needs to remind you. The leader of the official opposition does not need anyone to write his speech. Oh, Jesus, Lord. Why need to stop it? Anyway, let's go. Howard, I was at the signing. I never realized who political or how political this thing was. The signing seems like about Freeport and more about poem. Less about Freeport and more about points. This is too much. This is, boy, you wear your cami yesterday to church, and now you're ready for war today, right? But like I said, it's a big guy. You see me wearing my dick. It says, Brother Howard, please read my text. Mr. 52 is on point, and the caller today was very wrong about him. And it appears as if she dislikes him, Mr. 52. He says, thanks very much as the text is coming through. Guys, I just want to be able to be very clear with you and have this kind of a good conversation. I know if I'll be here tomorrow. But I want to talk from a nationalistic perspective. I'm grateful to be in your company, grateful to have these conversations. Please don't take this in the lens of one political party or another, but through the lens and the prism of nationalism. Let's continue to be able to do that so we can move collectively forward, upward, onward, and together. Thanks so much for being able to tune into Guardian Radio today. This is The Foundation. We see you tomorrow. Godspeed. Foundation. Foundation.